Long live John Afton. Long live Mumia Abu-Jamal and all freedom fighters, the Leonard Peltiers, the Sekou Odingas, you know, the Dr. Mutulu Shakurs, the Sylvia Baradinis, all those that love and fight for freedom. Move people are revolutionaries. Mumia Abu-Jamal is a revolutionary. He fights for freedom, for justice, not for himself alone, but for all of us, globally, worldwide. The fight that Mumia Abu-Jamal is waging is not simply for him. If Mumia wanted to just look out for himself, he didn't have to put his career, his life on the line. He didn't have to take uncompromising positions that led to him being fired from jobs, that led to him walking away from jobs rather than lie, rather than go along with the system so that he could make money, live the so-called good life. Mumia Abu-Jamal is truly the voice of the voiceless, a man of the people that stands up for the people uncompromisingly. Anybody that does that deserves, has earned our loyalty, our respect, you know, has deserved us working to save his life. The government of Pennsylvania in the United States is talking about killing an innocent man that they know is innocent. The MOVE organization from day one stood by Mumia. When the organization that he was president of, the Association of Black Journalists, turned their backs on him, the MOVE organization made sure that everybody knew about Mumia Abu-Jamal by forming the International Concern Family and Friends of Mumia and telling people very clearly, we don't care what kind of minor differences you have. We must come together. We must unify in solidarity to save the life of this innocent man. Not simply to save the life of one person, an individual named Mumia Abu-Jamal, but to send a strong, clear message to this system, not simply the American government or European or Asian government, but to the world system, that we will not sit back and allow them to just kill innocent people. The MOVE organization had a bomb dropped on us. We had 11 of our family members burnt alive, including 5 babies. We had 9 innocent people sitting in prison for the last 18 years for a murder like Mumia that they did not commit, that they were set up for because they too are revolutionary, because MOVE people speak out against the system. And despite that, we are taking a strong stand with the case of Mumia Abu-Jamal. We speak out in defense of all resistors, all freedom-oriented people, because we must send a clear message to this system that we will not sit back quietly while they kill our soldiers, our freedom fighters. You know, we will not do that. Each and every one of you in here tonight, you know, are here because you have an interest in what is happening with Mumia, because you have been active in doing the work to save Mumia Abu-Jamal. We must spread that word. We must take responsibility for getting other people actively involved in the case of Mumia Abu-Jamal, because it symbolizes all that is wrong with this system. It symbolizes all that is wrong with a government that makes, you know, an industry of killing people despite their innocence. Leonard Wineglass stood up here and told you in detail how Mumia was framed, how there is no case against Mumia. Just like each and every one of you heard that and can understand it, that judge understood it, that prosecutor understood it, you know? Even Mumia's backup attorney at the time understood it. Yet Mumia Abu-Jamal is still in prison on death row. What that should tell each and every one of you loud and clear is what John Africa has been telling people for over 25 years now, that there is no justice in the system. There is none to be had. So we have to stop looking for it. That doesn't mean that Leonard Wineglass should not file every and any appeal available to file. It simply means that we cannot rely on it. Leonard Wineglass stood up here and told you that what forced Judge Albert Szabo, a judge, he told you, put more people on death row than any other judge in America, a judge who had never, ever signed a stay of execution for any of those people he put on death row, well, signed his first one for Mumia Abu-Jamal. He did that because of the people, because of pressure, because he knew that the people were not going to stand for him killing Mumia Abu-Jamal. So he signed that stay of execution. But then he immediately denied Mumia a new trial. So that means that we can't stop. We can't take a step backward. We have to keep the pressure on. We have to escalate the pressure and let this system know that not only, you know, do we want Mumia Abu-Jamal's life saved, but we want Mumia Abu-Jamal home on the street where he belongs so he can continue the work that he has always done to expose the treachery of this system and work for the freedom of other prisoners of war, other freedom fighters, and for each and every one of us. This is what we have to let this system know. They don't give a damn about words. They don't care about words. What they care about is action, what they see people doing. So all I want to know is each and every one of you in this room tonight committed to doing everything you can, not more than you can, but at least anything you can to save the life of Mumia Abu-Jamal. That's all I want to know. I would hope that each and every one of you are committed to doing that. I would hope that each and every one of you understand that this thing is much bigger than an individual named Mumia Abu-Jamal. You know, it affects each and every one of us, because if we allow a precedent to be set where we just know that the government is going to kill an innocent person and we sit back and allow it, who amongst us is safe? Who amongst us is safe? This government knows the notoriety that Mumia Abu-Jamal has. They know the international support that Mumia Abu-Jamal has. If we let them kill Mumia, then what we have done, you know, is set ourselves back. You know, it will be our loss. Mumia will lose his life, but we will lose everything. We will set ourselves back. So all I want to say is, don't let that happen. Stay active. Stay on the move. You know, keep resisting. Keep fighting. Don't ever lose your fighting spirit. Save the life of Mumia Abu-Jamal and send a message to this entire world system that the people are on the move. That the people are on the move. Free Mumia Abu-Jamal. Free Mumia Abu-Jamal. Free all political prisoners and prisoners of war. Bring our soldiers home. On the move, long live John Africa, long live Mumia Abu-Jamal, long live revolution. Long live revolution. On the move. Yeah.
Long live the revolution, dat geldt zeker ook voor ons hier. En ook na deze daverende speech zullen wij in ieder geval van Kwaku ook alles aan doen om Mumia vrede te krijgen. Mumia is gelukkig ook met de speech van de heer Wijnglas en Ramona Afrika nu duidelijk bekend hier bij ons. We zullen ook alles ook doen. Het zal niet, zeker niet bij dit laatste initiatief blijven om Mumia in ieder geval te vechten voor de vrijheid van Mumia Abu-Jamal. I will give opportunity to the audience to ask a few questions. Als jullie vragen hebben, we hebben geen vertaler, anders moet hij zeggen van ik doe het toch. Ja? Oké. In ieder geval, misschien ook om de drempel wat te verlagen. Mag het ook in het Nederlands en dan hebben we dus een vertaler hier die dat zal vertalen naar Ramona en Mr. Wijnglas. Graag.
What is the actual legal situation?
Ja, we gaan het oplossen. We gaan een microfoon in de zaal zetten, zodat iedereen in ieder geval ook kan horen. Dat is ook de bedoeling van hem geweest, denk ik.
Concerning the trial and the possible execution of Mumia, could you tell us please what kind of time schedule we are dealing with?
After the judge denied Mumia a fair, a new trial, on September 15th, 1995, we then filed an appeal to the highest court in Pennsylvania, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, made up of 7 justices. They're all elected. Frequently, with money from police organizations. We filed our papers last Friday, February 9th, and now the district attorney, the prosecutors, have 30 to 60 days to answer. Then we get an opportunity to reply, and then there will be a presentation in court, probably in May or June of 96, where both sides will argue the case. The seven justices will then render a decision, a written decision, sometime in 1996. If we lose there, we then go into a separate court system, the federal system, where the judges are not elected but are appointed by the president and serve for life. And that, in that system, we can go all the way to the United States Supreme Court, which is the highest court in the country, if they will hear us. That will take another 6 months to a year. So we have approximately another year to year and a half of court appeals before Mumia faces the possibility of an execution. However, the governor might, in the middle of this process, try to issue another warrant for Mumia's execution while we are still fighting in court. And so we have to be ready for that if it happens. People say to me, how can the governor order an execution of a man who is still in court? Well, that is unusual. But last year, in 1995, Pennsylvania executed a man while he still had one more court proceeding ahead of him. He was executed just the same. The man was quite insane. And a court had set down a date for a hearing on his mental condition. And before the hearing could be held, he was executed. So that's the nature of the system we're dealing with. So I can explain as a lawyer what ought to happen in a regular procedure, but in Mumia's case, given the fact that he is a political prisoner, I'm not sure that they will follow the regular procedure. And I don't know what will happen. But ordinarily, we have a year to a year and a half. If I may explain just a little further, you have to understand what's happening in the United States today. You have 3,000 people waiting to be executed. But in the last few years, one man was executed even though the court said there was evidence of his innocence. But the court said being innocent doesn't necessarily mean you shouldn't be executed. That was from the Supreme Court. Another man was executed in the state of Utah who hadn't killed anyone and who the Pope had personally intervened and asked the governor to spare his life. He was executed. A man was executed last year in Illinois, a state in the middle of the country, after Congress people, high-ranking members of the clergy, the chiefs of police, all asked the governor not to execute the man. He was executed. People have been executed who committed crimes under the age of 18. There are only four countries in the world that do that. The U.S. has done it. One man was executed when they lifted him out of a wheelchair onto the table so that he could be executed. Last month, one man was executed by firing squad, a barbaric way. Another man was executed by hanging. So you have this happening in the United States today. And when you ask me a question, what is the legal process? I have to explain to you that there is something happening in the United States that is not rational, that is not humane. And as a lawyer, you have to recognize the reality of the situation. So I hope that answers your question.
I have a question about the book Mumia wrote. Is this book also released in the United States? And was it a success?
Is the MOVE organization only in the United States?
No, the book, oh. Mumia wrote.
Oh. It came out first in the United States in English, in a hard cover, which makes it very expensive. And people expected it would sell maybe 10,000 copies, maybe 12,000. That would make it a very good selling book. Up till now, it has sold about 60,000 copies. And it's just now coming out in the soft cover, which means now it's available for a much cheaper price. It's available to students, and it's available to people who don't have the money to buy a fancy hardcover book. So we expect the book to now sell it up very high numbers, up into 100,000 or more.
How would you mention that when you got
it? Very favorable reviews all over. The book has been reviewed in the New York Times, leading reviewed publications, in journals, for publishers, has been very well received. So well received that it is now out in German, it's out in French, it's about to be published, I think, this month in Italian. And we've had a request to have it published in Chinese.
Do you think the success of the book has any influence?
Oh. No question about the fact that the book has had a major influence in building support. So much so, when the book publisher announced they were publishing Mumia's book, the police hired an airplane to fly over the headquarters of the publisher, carrying a big banner like this, saying the publisher, Wesley Publishers, pays cop killers. That was the reaction. And when Mumia's commentaries were going to be put on the radio, national radio, commentaries that are in the book, the Senate Majority Leader, Bob Dole, who's now running for president, in the floor of the Senate, stood up and made a speech saying, if the national radio publishes one word of Mumia Abu-Jamal, the government will cut off all subsidies to that radio. And they canceled the program. Last week, national television in Belgium was given permission, I'm told, to interview Mumia and tape him. But they put a condition on the interview. And the condition was, the tape is not to be shown in the United States, only in Europe. That's how afraid they are of Mumia. That's how worried they are. But they're worried because the book and the broadcasts and Mumia's speaking has had such an impact that they do want to silence him. And he's been punished for writing that book. After his book came out, for 1 year, they isolated him so that people in the media could not meet him. No one could get in to see him. They took Pam Africa, who is his legal assistant, they barred her from seeing him. She's been assisting me for 4 years, working together. So they completely isolated Mumia as much as possible for writing the book. Mumia said that he was being punished for committing the crime of journalism. And so it's a contest between the government and Mumia to whether or not his words will get out. But they are worried about his words.
My name is Lady Jane Gutz. Thank you for being here, both of you. Before I go to pass on to my question about being active, the question is to both of you. I would like to depict a very small focus of the Dutch situation, because I think it's quite relevant for what I want to ask. You were talking about almost more than 2 million people in prisons in the United States. In Holland we have 15 million people, and among them there's 500,000 of young people under the age of 25. Among these young people, 7 to 8% is of ethnic minority origin, black origin, and from these young people, the black young people, they're quite, some of them, in youth prisons. We have 20 youth prisons in the Netherlands. And within the population of youth prisons in Holland, 54% is from ethnic minority origin, mostly African, Afro-Surinamese, Antillean, Moroccan. Those are the biggest groups. So I want to say that the same numbers, because you also have 50% of young people. I'm talking about under the age of 18 years. So underage young people. I want to stress that we have this development the same as in the United States. Thank God we don't have the horrendous system of putting people on death row to judge them to being killed. But still, I have a growing concern because of the young black people in Holland are more and more in youth prisons. In Clarini, they come out. I think all black families in Amsterdam and the other big cities have one young person under the age of 25 who they know of having been to prison, especially when I'm talking about Moroccans, Surinamese, Antillians. So with this in the back of our heads, and the other fact that we are not that active on the whole. The black community in Holland, it's like you could say we are still asleep, most of us. Some of us are getting awake, we have an alarm, a very small one at the back, and thank you actually for being one of our wake-up calls. What I want to say is, you said be as active as you can. I think we all want to be active. But the next question is how? How can you be specifically active without only writing letters like Amnesty International had a campaign? What are the other effective ways of being active to get this man free and others? I would also like to hear, apart from you and the list of activities we could do, from Mr. Wineglass, because you have had quite some people on that row who have been executed, you are telling me. Actually, it demotivates if you hear that they have still been executed while high political people have demanded for their freedom and their release. So I wonder, how can we here in Holland do something about that? And if we can, just give us some specific clues.
Thank you.
As far as your first question about being active and activity, it's very simple. Each and every person knows their capabilities. All you need is maybe a little guidance on some things that are needed. Writing letters is good. I'm not saying don't write letters. That's good. But along with that, and even in conjunction with writing letters, just getting them posted. There are people who maybe work every day, have a paycheck coming in, have a little, you know, money that they can afford to contribute, they can provide stamps. You know, they can commit themselves to providing stamps to people here that support Mumia or are active on any level so that they can get information out. If you have access to a photocopy machine, photocopy information, take responsibility for making sure that one, two, maybe three other people at least have that information in their hands. You can't make them read it, you can't make them do something with it, but at least you have taken responsibility for making sure they at least get the information. If you're active enough to go to meetings or go to a demonstration, make up your mind that you're going to try to get at least one other person who might not normally go to go with you. You know, people have to make telephone calls. There were numerous telephone calls made to bring us here to arrange this whole thing. That takes money. I don't know if they have them here. They probably do. Phone cards, you know, where you can charge a call to this card. There's a certain amount of money on it. You know, donate phone cards to people that are organizing things. If you're a mother at home with young children and you can't get out a lot and, you know, you don't have a lot of time or a lot of money, volunteer to watch, you know, people's children while they go out. I mean, all these things might seem small, but they all help. They all make things go smoother. If they have radio talk shows here, you know, in Holland. I don't know if they do that. You know, radio talk shows where you can call it. I mean, whatever issue, Mumia Abu Jamal, whatever serious issue is going on, flood the radio shows, you know, with that. A person that's home all day who may not be able to get out or who may choose not to be out, you know, in the streets running around doing things, you know, can sit home, monitor these shows, and call in, you know.
When they are mobilized, what then? Because when they are all active, then?
Well, when people are active, what happens is it's felt, it's seen. Officials who make decisions and have to, you know, deal with issues like Mumia Abu Jamal and, you know, whether or not he's executed, they know that, they're aware of that. Believe me, officials in the United States, in Pennsylvania, specifically in Philadelphia, are very much aware of the actions that have been going on here in Holland, across Europe, and around the world in support of Mumia Abu Jamal. That is why Mumia is alive today. So these actions are felt. You know, they do have an impact. Len Wineglass was standing up here telling you that when officials, people that are respected by the system, pled for the life of a man on death row, didn't make a hell of a difference at all. The man was executed. But when the people demanded that Mumia will not die and took to the streets, wrote letters, made phone calls, used faxes, you know, to make that point loud and clear, Mumia was not executed.
Oh, yeah.
So the power is in the people, in the activity of the people. And it's felt, it's seen. And the fact that Mumia Abu Jamal is alive is the proof of that. So what I'm saying is, do what you can do. You know, do at least what you feel comfortable with. You don't even have to go past what you feel comfortable with. If you've got a car, you know, commit yourself to 1 or 2 hours, you know, twice a week or something, to help take information around or pick things up that need to be picked up. I mean, you know, there is something that everybody can do. Everybody can contribute something to this revolution. If you're a singer, a rapper, a musician, a dancer, you know, you can contribute to this revolution. You know, put on a fundraiser to help raise funds and consciousness about an issue like Mumia Abu Jamal. If you're a poet, you know,
write poems about it and do these poems. You know, if you're into childcare, you like working with children, you know, set up a time that you're comfortable with or a program that you're comfortable with just to be with the children, to teach them, to make sure that they know about a Mumia Abu-Jamal. They ain't gonna learn about him in the classroom, not unless there is a teacher, you know, like one of us that will make sure that they know. But whatever you're involved in, you can, you know, contribute something to the revolution, you know, in conjunction with it. You can make it work for you. And that's all that's being said, because if everybody does a little something, commits themselves to doing, you know, just a little something like that, it adds up to a lot of something. And that's what we have to understand and get past. We see the situation as so big and so overwhelming, and we just don't know what we can do to make a difference. But all of those things I have said make a difference. If you're in a position where you can get an appointment, you know, with officials, make that appointment and go to those officials and make them do what people have done for Mumia. Write a letter, you know, at least inquiring about the situation. That lets, you know, American officials know, hey, people are watching. You know, I got a letter from Holland. I got a letter from Germany, from France about this situation. How the hell did they know what was going on? We better watch ourselves. We better be careful. We better rethink this. Everything, you know, makes a difference. So we're just saying, do something. We have a flyer out there that says things people can do in support of MOVE. Doesn't just apply to MOVE. These are things that, you know, any active person can use as a guide to contribute something to this revolution. But just do something. Don't leave here tonight thinking that you've heard a good speech, you know, that what people said was really good, really inspiring. Use it to make a decision tonight that you are going to do something, you know, something, no matter how seemingly small, but do something. Not for Mumia, not for the MOVE organization or Ramona or for Lenny Wineglass or anybody else, but do it for yourself, because you are not fighting for Mumia. You are fighting in defense of justice, of righteousness. And that's something that is of interest to each and every one of you and has a bearing on each and every one of you. So get on the MOVE. Make up your mind to get involved and do something. That's all that's being said.
Ik moest even doorgeven, is er heel veel gratis informatie op de Balinaanse tafels over de MOVE, maar ook over dingen wat je kan doen dus, op de blauwe balen. Ja? En wat is even something, if South Africa is in this position now, it is also because a lot of people all around the world stand up and do something. So this can be changed as well.
Just speaking briefly from the point of view of a lawyer and how lawyers can be brought into the process. Lawyers in the United States, there are about 600,000 to 700,000 lawyers. 1% belong to a progressive lawyers association known as the National Lawyers Guild. All four lawyers working on Mumia's case are members of that progressive group. It's important that you work with a lawyer or lawyers who are willing to learn from you. And lawyers have a lot of learning to do. It's important for this reason. The more information you have as an organizer about a case in the process, the better you can organize. And the more information a lawyer has from you as an organizer about the background of the case and the political history, the better work that lawyer can do. I think we function fairly successful because we learn from each other and we stay in touch with each other and we work together. I become better at my work as a lawyer because I learn the background from Ramona, from Pam Africa, from people who know Philadelphia, knew Mumia, know the history of MOVE. In return, every time we make a MOVE or process, it's after meetings with supporters, and we inform them about the process. So what I would suggest, and I don't know if it's available here, is that you find lawyers who are willing to work with you and willing to learn from you and are also willing to give to you the technical information they have. And that is an important point in building support. Because if a lawyer can explain the whole process and you can put it into a form that will begin to give people an understanding, then you can really begin to mobilize opinion. Also, lawyers talk to other lawyers. And it's so important to have lawyers speaking to the system about the situation that you describe here in Holland. Because if they can mobilize other lawyers and judges, you begin to have the basis for attacking and criticizing the system within the system. And that's also effective. All this has happened only recently in the United States, where lawyers began to work so closely with organizers. But it's had a good effect. And one of the lawyers that I respected greatly, the lawyer for the Black Panther Party, Charles Gary, lived with the Black Panthers, lived in their house, experienced police raids with him, knew what their lives were about, and so was a much better lawyer. In return, he was able to work on the basis of trust with the Black Panther Party very effectively. So it's important to build that connection, if it can be done here in Holland. I don't know. I don't know how many lawyers are willing to take the risks that this entails, because it always involves a risk. If a lawyer becomes political, you risk economic standing, you risk professional standing, but you're really doing essentially what you're supposed to do as a lawyer. You're attempting to seek justice. And from what you describe, that's very much needed here. And you have to have people who you can educate and who in turn you can trust and who can trust you to work with. And so I would just suggest that as a lawyer.
My name is Sue Africa. I'm a MOVE member. Been a MOVE member for 23 years. I wanted to ask Ramona to tell us why MOVE supports Mumia the way we do. But before she does that, I just wanted to respond to something the sister said over here. Don't underestimate the power of the people. People do run government, and government is scared of people. They become scared of the power that the people have when they see that they cannot control the people. Now, they're not scared of those representatives that Leonard Wineglass mentioned, because they are already working for the system. They're owned and controlled by the system. So the system does not fear them. But the system does fear the people when they feel that the people are no longer controlled by the system. And this is what happened this summer, not only in the United States, but over here in Europe. The United States, who constantly is in everybody's backyard, you know, the world policemen, we're the leader, you know, they're the leader of human rights, of democracy, always telling somebody what to do. You know, they have this image to protect, this image of being the leader of democracy and the leader of human rights. And they cannot take, you know, the international people seeing that it's a fraud, that it's a dupe, that it's a trick. And one thing people should always keep in mind is that the government is a coward. It's a bully. It's just a few people that run the government, run the system. It's the people that really run the government. But people don't know this. They don't realize this. They haven't been taught this. And this is why the system has been able to take people's power of purpose for its own. Feed people weakness and take their strength for their own. This is what John Africa teach the MOVE organization. And this is why John Africa is the founder of MOVE. He is our teacher. He teaches us to lead ourselves, to believe in self-leadership, because each being is equipped naturally to lead themselves. To give your power of purpose to an external influence, a government, is to leave yourself weak. And it's proven by what government has done to people. But what I'm saying is that the United States government backed off Mumia August 17th from killing Mumia because they started to see that the people were not going to accept them killing Mumia. And they got scared. They got scared because, like I said, the government is a bully. It's a coward. It's only going to do what the people allow them to do. Now, historically, in the United States and internationally, the people have allowed the government to do whatever it wants. To kill freedom fighters, to execute freedom fighters, to put the freedom fighters that they haven't killed or executed in prison for years and years and years. But if they really see that the people will not take it, they've got to be scared and intimidated and backed up. How many people is there as opposed to how many government officials? And that's something they always have to remember. They don't take it for granted. As long as people are passive, apathetic, dead, laying back, doing nothing, they feel very confident. But if they start seeing the stirrings up of people getting on the move, getting active, protesting, getting angry, saying they ain't gonna take this stuff no more, then they have to be wary. Now, don't misunderstand me. They're just laying back, waiting for people to get apathetic and dead and uninvolved and assuming so they can move in for the kill. That's where our work comes in. To keep